And welcome, everybody, to Six Eyes Children's Bible Time here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang with you saying welcome, 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 welcome one all, welcome all. Amen. A little tongue tire there. Try that one for a while. And saying welcome to our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those called 515-605-9340. 515-605-9340. Just press the number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things, as we are in another children's program today. And just want to say welcome, welcome. So who do we got with us, Sister Ruth, today?
Well, we got God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, you, Sister Emily, and me.
Our prayer team leader is with us today.
Good job.
I guess what I got on her about the other day got a little results. All right, so you're with us today.
We miss her when she's not there.
Huh?
We miss her when she's not there.
That's right. And not to mention she's got a job to do. All right, so what do you got for us today, Emily?
Hey, Kenny. I got a question for you and Sister Ruth.
Okay.
I know what you were referring to without saying, okay?
Yeah.
I had the privilege today, and this is my praise report today. After what you got after me for, okay?
Yeah.
I was coming back from helping my niece get some things for her apartment.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you what happened and how much my heart is leaping for joy today.
Yeah.
You and Sister Ruth would want to go shouting.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I actually had the privilege of leading my niece to Christ.
Praise the Lord. Yay! Whoa!
Give a hand clap of praise for Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. If we could get out there at the ball game and clap and shout and scream for some guy taking a stupid, funny, oblong ball, throwing it down the field, some other idiot catch it, and he runs across a line on the ground.
Yeah.
And everybody hoop and holler for that.
Yeah.
Then why can't we hoop and holler for something like that?
I think we should.
Hoop and holler and clap for Jesus for somebody going from hell to heaven. Now, wait a minute. What's the problem with us?
Nothing. We should get busy.
What's the problem with that? Something wrong with that. Something wrong when somebody will take bounce a ball on a wooden floor, go running all over the place with it, and then throw it up in the air and it go through a round looking thing that's hung from a board, and it's got a little bunch of rope hanging off of it, and it goes through that thing, and we're all hoop and holler because you got it through there.
Yeah.
And we'll hoop and holler and scream and shout and clap and all that stuff, but somebody gets saved, like what Emily was just talking about, going from hell to heaven, going from the flames of eternity.
Yeah.
In hell,
right?
To go into the streets of gold, and we won't hoop or holler and even say thank you, Jesus.
We should do more than that. We might go run down the street if we could.
What's wrong with that picture?
Nothing. It's wonderful.
I mean, there's something wrong with that picture when we won't say even thank you, Jesus.
I'll say, you go, girl. You just go ahead and do that.
Amen.
I tell you, she's
thank
a good
you,
at witnessing for the Lord. She's good at that.
All right. What else you got for us, Emily?
Not only did I get to lead my niece to Christ, I'd like two homeless right next to outside our public library here. and got to lead them to Christ too.
Oh, cool.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Well, we got
Amen.
A good soul winner here. I want to tell Tim, and he'll
right.
probably think she's wonderful.
All right. So now, with that, any prayer requests?
That's not all. Yesterday, this was just all happened. That what I just told you just all happened in today. But then yesterday, I got to lead my son and my daughter to Christ.
Oh, honey, that's so wonderful. I could bust. We need to
Amen.
Clap again.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Because, my God, I think you've been waiting for that for a long time, I'm sure.
Amen.
Yeah, especially when my daughter said she believed in the pagan gods and stuff.
Oh, honey, I'm glad she's saved now.
Amen. All right, so.
Also, I'm going to ask our listeners as well as our young people. I was coming back from running an errand for myself after my niece was picked up. I had to go run an errand for myself. And I stopped in at our local funeral home where my ex-stepdad that acted more like a father to me. And I ran into our county commissioner. He was there, and we had one of our veterans from World War I passed away. They were having his funeral there at the funeral home, and I stopped in just to warm up a little bit. And one of his family members stepped outside to, I guess, she stepped out basically to take and regain her composure to be able to go back in and comfort the rest of her family. And I was also able today to lead that young lady to Christ. She was only 17 years old.
Amen.
You go, sweetie. Praise the Lord.
Also, as far as prayer requests, be keeping our ministry in prayer, that all the needs we have in our ministry in prayer, keep our radio station in prayer, that their needs will be met there. All our first responders, medical personnel, our government, our military, and also be keeping me in prayer because I wasn't watching what I was doing and I went boom.
Oh, no.
All right. And, of course.
It was my fault that I fell and went boom because I wasn't watching where I was walking and I went squat.
I've done that before, sweetheart, but I hope you didn't hurt yourself bad.
Just well, let my back hurt a little bit, but I'm still going.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
All right. Well, speaking of prayer requests, of course, we want to pray for the situation over in Jerusalem there, over in Israel. Be praying for all our country's leaders that seek after God, not after man. Our military, all our first responders, police, fire, ambulance. That they'd be used of God and they'd seek after God and they'd be protected. Of course, all our workers in the nursing homes and hospitals, doctors, as well as the nursing staff. We want to pray for the sick and shut-in, no matter where they may be. We want to pray for the patients in the nursing homes and hospitals that they'd get the treatment they need and that they'd get well. Want to pray for the lost in general, that they'd come to Christ, especially a soul who is nearest hell. The blind ministry, as Emily says, we do have a praise report. We are about now at 1% of what we were starting. We're starting to raise the money toward our bus. We got 1% of the funds raised. Okay, so we're at 1% of that money raised. So that's a a little start. Doesn't sound like a lot, but 1% is there toward getting that. So that is a prayers report. We are praying still for that. We are praying for, of course, all the needs of the blind ministry, praying for Six Eyes Radio Network and their needs here, and, of course, the staff of Six Eyes Radio Network. And so we are going to be praying for that. So today what we're going to do, do you want to take the opening prayer, Em, or do you want to take the closing?
Okay. I'll do the opening, and let Sister Ruth, or you take the closing.
All right, you're on.
Closing. I got a problem with my tongue getting tied knots, too.
All right.
Just like you did there a little bit ago there, Missionary Dad.
Yep. And before you pray, sweetheart, I have a praise report. A man on the bus wants me to do some sewing for me, for him, and he's going to be coming over here.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
So McKinney and I might have a little job because he said he might have quite a bit of sewing to do.
Okay.
Also, Ken, there was one other prayer request. Sister Lila got a hold of me, and she said, be praying that either she's either A, going to be getting moved into halfway, it's like they call it a halfway housing, like it's still going to be where they control her meds and stuff. But it's like a halfway, kind of like a halfway house.
Uh-huh.
And they're going, it's kind of like a assisted living type thing.
Uh-huh.
And they're working with her. They're letting her go out more frequent. And she has to, when she goes out, what they call it there is an LOA, which is a leave of absence with the staff's permission. And she said, please be keeping that in prayer. And then a young lady named Heather that's at the same nursing home she's at is asking for prayer for her family. The family's name is Estek.
Okay.
Also be praying for me because they're talking of putting an artificial joint in my ankle and my left wrist.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And just being funny, before I pray, would either one of you want to go have it done for me?
Yeah, no, because pretty soon if you keep going, you'll be like Darth Vader. You mostly robot rather than human.
Oh, he's so silly.
Then she'll be going around.
Oh, yeah, I hope you don't think it's Darth Vader or something. She's not like that, silly.
I like
cowboy. Come with me and join the dark side of the Force.
I'd rather have the light side. No.
No.
I don't know the power of the dark side.
No. I don't know the power of the dark side. I know the power of the light side.
Amen.
Yeah, man.
That's better, huh?
Hey, that's our mini skit for the kids today, okay?
Hello.
One of them, Kenny. One of these days, we're going to have to do another mini skit with the Yogi and Boo Boo thing, okay?
Yeah, I was telling him. I thought that'd be cool.
We'll work that in. All right, so we'll let you go so we can get into the show today.
Lord, I thank you for this broadcast today. And Lord, I ask you just to be with all our young people as they go to and from school. Keep them safe. Keep your hedge of protection around them. That there be no peer pressure on them as far as the illegal drugs that are here in the world, Lord. Keep them safe. Lord, I ask you for all these prayer requests that you be with each one, person by person. Lord, I ask you just to be with this broadcast, be with Brother Six and the radio station,
thank you, Lord.
Sister Nikhail with her needs there, our ministry and our needs in the ministry. Lord, I ask you to be with all the souls that are nearest hell, that you just, they'd reel up the white flag, surrendering over to you, saying, I yield, I yield. Give their life over to you. Lord, and I also ask for all these other prayer requests that may not have been named, that are unspoken for Brother and Sister Quick and Pastor and Sister Bonnet's unspoken that they've had, that you'd be with those needs as well, Lord. And I ask this all in your name. Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Amen. All right. Well, we do got some great songs for you today. And, of course, some time with Ranger Bill. Got a little Bible time with Ruth. And, of course, Uncle Bob. So we are going to get right into that. So we hope you all enjoy. And then, of course, more time at the end for any prayer requests. And then, of course, if you have any that you don't want to get on air, and if you're a little shy, you could still contact, of course, Sister Emily, if you've got her number. She's given it before, but we'll have her go ahead real quick and give it again. You can text her or give her a jingle real quick during the show, and then she can get it to us and get it on air if you're a little shy to get on air yourself. So go ahead, Sister Emily.
Okay, the number is 440-645-4899. Again, that number is 440-645-4899. Or you could email me at Yogi, Y-O-G-I period, A-N-D period, F-R-I-E-N-D-S, 1971 at gmail.com. Again, that's Yogi, Y-O-G-I period, A-N-D period, Friends, F-R-I-E-N-D-S, 1971 at gmail.com. And you could also email me the prayer request, and then I will get those to Missionary Ken, and he could put them on our ministry website, and as well, we will get them on the air for you. God bless all. Enjoy the show.
All right. So let's get right into our program then. All righty. And here, of course, Emily, one of your favorite songs is coming up in the show, and I hope you'll sing along, okay?
If you're picking on me about the one we had to learn in school, I am going to get you.
Well, you'll find out as we get along here. So here we go.
Behave, Ken.
Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, yeah. Over mountains and valleys and deserts and plains. I guess I drove about all of them. 'Cause for the past 25 years now, the cab of a truck has been my home. And it'd be kind of hard for me to settle down and not be on the go. Well, I remember the first truck I drove. I was so proud I could hardly wait to get home to show my wife and little boy. And my little boy was so excited like when he saw his first snow. He wasn't old enough to say too many words. He just kept a hollering, "Giddy up, go, Daddy, giddy up, go." So that's what I named the old truck, Giddy Up, Go. Ah, things wasn't too bad. Of course, I was gone an awful lot. And then after about 6 years of being in and out, I got home one day and found my wife and little boy gone. And I couldn't find out what happened. Nobody seemed to know. So from that day on, it's just been me and old Giddy Up Go. Oh, I've made a lot of friends at all the truck stops. And some of them would kid me about my little sign. Of course, they knew where I'd got the name. Of course, I told him about that little boy of mine and how his first word about the truck was, "Giddy up, go." Well, today I was barreling down old 66 when up beside me pulled a brand new diesel rig, both stacks glowing black coal. And as he pulled around and back in front of me, a big lump came in my throat. And my eyes watered like I had a bad old cold. A little sign on the back of the truck that read, "Giddy up, go." Well, I pushed old Giddy up and stayed right on him till the next truck stop where he'd pulled up. And I waited till he went in and I offered to buy him a cup. Well, we got to talking shop and I said, "How'd you come by the name on your truck, Giddy up, go?" Well, he said, "I got it from my pop. Dad used to drive a truck. That's what Mom talked about a lot. You see, I lost Mom when I was just past 16. And I lost all track of Pop. Mom said he got the name from me." Well, I shook his hand and told him I had something I wanted him to see. And I took him out to the old truck and brushed off some of the dirt so the name would show. And his eyes got big and bright as he read, "Giddy up, go." we had a lot of things to talk about, and buddy, I felt like a king. And now we've just pulled back on old 66, and he handled that rig better than any gear jammer that I'd ever seen. Well, now the lines on the highway have got a much brighter glow as we go roaring down the road, and me staring at little sign that reads, Giddy Up Go.
Someone else's dream. A friend of mine had such a dream. I met her at a truck stop just outside of Phoenix. We both worked there. Her dream came true, I know. The key to her dream was a little sign that read, Giddy Up Go. She was a lovely girl, pretty smile. But behind all this, I could see a troubled mind. She told me of when she met the guy that won her heart and made her life a joy. And before too long, more happiness came. A little baby boy. Things wasn't too bad. His job wasn't much, but somehow they got by. And then came the day he drove home a big truck. And the little boy became so overjoyed, just like when he saw his first fall of snow. He kept hollering, Giddy up, go, Daddy. Giddy up, go. Then a dark cloud moved in. A few years later, without warning, after a few visits with her doctor, he said it was just a matter of time. She knew she'd have to move to a drier climate, and this troubled her mind. So without leaving a trace, she took her son and left town one night. She settled here, and we became the closest of friends. We talked from time to time, and she'd smile, and her eyes would glow when she'd tell me about Giddy Up Go. Each time a truck would pull in, I could see her stand and stare. Wasn't long before she had to give up being a waitress here, and she moved on out of town, not too far. We visited almost every week. The boy now's almost grown. He's the image of his dad, she'd say. The most handsomest man I've ever known. The dark cloud once more moved in. And as I stood close by, once again she told her story. I could see a tear in her eye. I know my son longs for the road. And the last request she had, let him become a truck driver, like son, like dad. The boy soon left town. I never knew for where. But I find myself watching every truck that pulled in around the curve. Giddy Up Go was the only link that held between the two. And I was hoping that I could be of help. He became a dream to me, too. Just now, I froze in my tracks as I watched two trucks pull in, a big new shiny diesel and an old one following him. I couldn't help staring as they walked in, ordered coffee, and talked a while. Then I saw them leave, both wearing such a smile. They walked out to the old truck, brushed off some dirt so the nameplate would show. And before my eyes, a little sign. It read, Giddy Up, Go.
And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. We're going into 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 31. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 31.
So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord.
And you notice here something interesting. Most people think, well, after Saul messed up, that he was doomed. No. Even after Saul messed up, he asked Samuel, he says, hey, I want to repent. I want to worship the Lord. And there's the proof in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 31, that Samuel did return with Saul, and Saul did worship the Lord. So Saul did repent. He did worship the Lord. But what Samuel did not turn back from, and what God did not repent of or say, okay, Saul, I'm going to forgive you for, he did not change his mind. God did not change his mind when he said he was going to take the kingdom from Saul. Hello? Read your Bible. There it is in 1 Samuel 15. You could see it for yourself. Saul, the kingdom was taken from him. But God did not refuse Saul from worshiping him and repenting and going back to God and repenting, because Saul did return and Saul did worship God. So for those agnostics who say, well, Saul did repent, no, Saul did go back to God. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse, 1 Samuel 15 and verse 31. Amen. Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind. Our primary outreach goal is to the edification of the saved, reaching out to the lost, and helping those in distress, and the education of Christ's body as to the abilities, needs, and rights of those who are visually inconvenienced, and the special talents they can bring to God's church. God has challenged us to meet this goal in many ways. First off, with our appropriate outreach materials for the sighted and blind alike, such as large print, Braille and audio Bibles, tracts, and more. Then secondly, our sermons library, which is over 200 titles strong and growing. Topics range from loving the brethren to the false doctrines of the cults. You'll surely find food for your soul by checking out the entire set we have to offer. All sermons are totally free for the asking, as the Lord provides. Request one or as many as you want. Thirdly, our resources department of our ministry helps to answer the question, what is out there? By getting help finding training for blind children and adults, finding a summer camp or a handy gift idea for that blind friend or loved one. Finally, don't stay on earth without them. Find out more about the Extrabula Angels and how these messengers of mercy are a part of the ministry. Get a copy of their albums or book them before they fly away. You can find out more about Holiness Bibles for the Blind by visiting our website at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Again, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Or you can call us at 1-440-789-9411. Again, 1-440-789-9411. You can also email us at holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot holinessblind at gmail.com. Again, that's holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind at gmail.com. And finally, if you wish to give a love gift to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, go to paypal.com and enter the email address 2for1katie at gmail.com. That's digit number 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E at gmail.com. Again, digit 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E at gmail.com. After you've entered the email address, then all you got to do is enter the amount of your love gift, and no matter how big or small, Holiness Bibles for the Blind thanks you very, very much, and God will richly bless you for your love gift. Amen. On the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. That's D-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
Yeah, I'm just ready to say heck with life and ready to feel like I'm feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Driving. brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
And now, kids, it is time for Ranger Bill.
Ranger Bill, warrior of the woodland, struggling against extreme odds, traveling dangerous trails, fighting the many enemies of nature. This is the job of the guardian of the forest, Ranger Bill. Pouring rain, freezing cold, blistering heat, snow, floods, bears, rattlesnakes, mountain lions. Yes, all this in exchange for the satisfaction and pride of a job well done.
There's lots of excitement in Knotty Pine these days. This is the time of year when the state championship bobsled race is held at Culver's Peak. The bobsleds race at breakneck speeds around Culver's Peak, twisting and turning on hairpin curves, and then they come into the straightaway, which shoots them down the side of the Shady River Valley. Our Rangers hold a speed record of 65 3/10 miles an hour, and we've held the championship for 3 years. But now our position is being threatened. The Cole brothers from the southern part of the state are entering the race this year, and we could lose the championship. Listen to the story, Bobsled.
Here's some more in the paper about the Cole brothers, Bill. Those guys could beat us and win the championship, couldn't they?
Yeah, we sure could, pal.
Their sled's been timed at maximum speed of 68 4/10 miles an hour.
We'll have a hard time to get that much speed out of our sled.
Yeah, you can say that again, young fella. I've lost 3 pounds of weight since the last race. We need all the weight we can get.
What'd you say you lost, Stumpy?
I said I lost 3 pounds of beef. That's what I said.
Oh, excuse me. I thought you said 3 pounds of blubber.
No, you say here, you young maverick. I'm nothing but skin and muscle and bones. There's not an ounce of blubber on me.
Oh, no? Oh, I thought maybe you were growing some insulation for the cold winter. You know, something to keep your tummy warm.
I'll insulate your tummy if I get a hold of you. You'll think you're a poor little sheep for standing all by your lonesome in a hole and blizzard.
But take me from this old cutter. I'm going to chop me. It's going to be up the pasture.
What are you afraid of? You weigh 3 pounds more than he does.
Better save your energy for later when we meet the Cole brothers. Look, let's go over to the diner and have some supper, huh?
Maybe with a good supper we'll think up an idea to make the sled go faster.
Yeah, and not only that, maybe Stumpy might gain back his 3 pounds. Yeah.
Say, have we got any more emery cloth, Ned?
Yeah, in the paper bag, Phil. Oil's in the can there.
Yeah, I see it. Sure got these runners smooth as glass.
You gotta be slicker than that. Don't think for a minute Bill Jefferson and his boys aren't gonna put up a tough battle to hold their title. They'll give us the toughest competition we'll ever have.
You're telling me. Those guys really know their bobsledding. You know, we've been running away with the other races we've been in. But this time, I'm afraid it'll be different.
Understand that their official speed record is just a hair over 65 miles per hour. But that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, you're right. They could have been holding back. Or maybe not driving for top advantage.
That's what's been worrying me. We don't really know what this sled can do in a tight race. Say, where'd Mac and Les go?
Oh, over to register at the judge's headquarters. Oh, we're supposed to meet them at the diner for supper.
Good. It's getting close to chow time, that's for sure. I know one thing else for sure, Phil.
What's that, Ned?
Those Rangers will know they've been in a race before we're through with them.
The other night,
we must be the talk of the town, fellas. Everybody is looking at us and talking among themselves.
They're probably wondering if we're going to win the race this year.
Yeah.
Look who just came in the door.
Huh? The Cole brothers. Now the fun will begin.
Hey, fellas, here comes the new bobsled champions, the Cole brothers.
That's right. Yeah. I hear they got a faster sled than the Rangers.
Yeah, too bad the Rangers ain't going to be champions anymore.
Very funny, I call it. That's all right, Henry. Let him have his fun. Maybe he'll have to eat those words later. Hello, fellas.
Hi, Ned.
Hi.
Bill.
Hi.
Hi. I guess we know each other more from a distance than close up, huh?
Yeah, but nice to see you.
Hey, Rangers, you ain't going to let those Cole brothers beat you in the race, are you? Or maybe you're going to back out, huh?
Yeah, the smarter the hen, the louder the cackle, I always say. Yes,
sir. And maybe if we leave, you fellas can eat in peace.
Oh, don't leave on our account, Tom. We don't care what they say.
We don't either, Phil. We're through, and there's a lot of work to do. The race is Saturday, only 2 days off. So we'll see you fellas at the inspection round tomorrow afternoon, huh?
Okay, Bill. Nice seeing you again.
Same here. Now, let's go, fellas.
Yeah, we'll
see.
Hello, Bill.
Stay at the top of Culver's Peak, Rangers. Too bad you ain't got to win the race.
Oh, now, don't you be crazy. They'll win, all right. Maybe take a little trick or two, but they'll win.
Who said that? Who made that crack? Yeah, that's what I thought. Somebody here has a big mouth and no brains. If that person would spend as much energy promoting good sportsmanship instead of running it down, he'd be doing something.
Give it to him, Stumpy.
We can take all the ribbon you can dish out, but keep it good-natured. And don't make cracks about sportsmanship. This race will be won by the best team. That's the only real qualification for a championship that we know of.
Man, Stumpy sure got mad when that loudmouth lifted up his voice.
He was mad. But did you notice he didn't lose control of himself?
Afraid if somebody had accused me that way, I'd probably plowed right into him.
There's one angle for this that's got me worried. I think we're in for it now.
Hmm? In for what?
A tough race. Bill and his Rangers have been embarrassed publicly. And they'll win this race if it kills them.
Feeling now, Stumpy? Kind of cool off a bit?
Boy, I sure thought you were going to clean up the place.
Well, I apologize, fellas. I really shouldn't let that heckler get me excited that way.
Well, you got it right when that heckler accuses us of dishonesty and poor sportsmanship.
Bill?
Yeah, pal?
I've been thinking. We've just got to win that race so as to make those smart alecks eat their words.
You know, I've been thinking the same thing, Henry. It's up to us to defend our championship with every last ounce of energy that we've got. And you fellas can get set for a tough battle, believe me. Those Cole brothers are tough bobsledders.
Boy, just feel this sled runner, will you? Why, it's as smooth as a... Well, as a...
What's the matter, young fella? Can't you find any words?
Yeah, sort of, Stumpy. What word would you use to describe smoother than smooth?
Huh? Well, I ain't at no dictionary, you know.
That's a tough question, Henry.
Yeah, what word could we use to describe smoother than smooth?
You tell me. I don't know. Why, this sled runner is smoother than a...
Why don't you put it this way, Henry? That runner is slicker than a banana peel in a grease pit.
Oh.
Come on. Let's find out how smooth those runners are. We'll take the sled out and make a couple of trial runs down the straightaway in Shady Valley. We'll clock ourselves with this stopwatch to see what speed we've picked up. Henry, have you got the stopwatch ready?
All set. Don't make any sudden turns, because I'm not able to hold on too good while working this watch with one hand.
No, hold on, Henry.
Fine. Say when, Bill. I'll start the watch.
Stumpy, give us a push onto the straightaway and jump on quick.
Should I start the watch now?
As soon as Bill tells you.
Hold on to your umbrellas! Here we go! Okay, Bill, the commercial's up!
Now, Bill?
Start your watch when we pass the marker, Henry. You should have pretty good speed up by that time. Now!
Boy, can we take it on speed? They will break our record.
And Bill's not able to talk now. Wind's too strong in his face. You better not talk either.
We're going to break our record!
Stop the watch, Henry.
Boy, what a thrill to zip along at a mile a minute. Sure does something to you.
Yep, it sure does, honey. I've got 10 more gray hairs.
What's the news, Bill?
Just a minute, fellas. I'll have it all figured out here.
Oh, we must have broken our record. I just know it.
Yep, you're right.
We broke our own speed record.
Yippee!
Oh, that is good news.
How fast we go?
68 miles an hour, even.
Whoa! Maybe we'll beat those cold brothers yet, Ethers.
Maybe. Why, sure we will. Why, their sled at its best only went 0.4 miles an hour faster than ours. And we're used to this bobsled course. So we ought to be able to beat them easy.
Sure, well, that is good news. Bill, you're smiling for the first time since the Cole brothers came to town.
Yes, Tom. Because now I'm confident that we can beat them.
Phil, what's our speed?
Well, I'll get my pencil and paper out.
Come on, Phil, you can figure faster than that.
Keep your shirt on, Ned. You want this to be accurate, or don't you?
Sure, but...
Mac, Les, will you get your big faces out of my light?
Okay.
Leave the genius alone, boys. He's hard at work.
Well, I want to know just as bad as you do, but it takes a few minutes. There we are. Look at this, will you?
What? 70 miles an hour. Right on the button. Boy, will we beat those Rangers to a standstill. We've got better than a 4 mile an hour advantage on them. Bill, guess what I heard? It isn't good news either.
I guess it isn't by the look on your face. What's up, pal?
I just heard that the Cole brothers made a clocked run, and they broke their own speed record.
No. Well, who told you this?
Well, nobody in particular. Everybody knows it about town. They also know something else.
Yeah?
They know that we broke our speed record, too, on our timing run.
Huh? Well, how'd they find that out? We haven't told a soul. Unless...
Unless what?
Unless somebody was watching us. When we figured our time, they could tell we broke our own record by the commotion we made.
Yeah. I'll bet that's how they did it. What are we going to do now?
Don't get Stumpy and Tom. We've got to work more on that sled if we're going to win the championship.
So, the rumors say that the Rangers beat their own time record on that test run.
Yes. And that rumor has it that we beat ours, too. Somebody must be watching us. What are we going to do? Maybe make another test run and see if we can pick up more speed?
I think we should. In fact, let's make 3 runs in the morning and take an average.
Yeah, that's a terrific idea. But let's try to keep it secret. Let's do it about noontime. There won't be so many people around then.
Right. We'll get to the course just around noon and... Well, you know something?
What?
I'm even hoping that we can break our 70-mile-an-hour speed.
Come on, Henry. Get out of the sack.
Sure.
I'm half dressed already.
Is the moon out good and bright?
Just like a searchlight. Hurry up now. We'll pick up Stumpy and Tom, and then out to the bobsled course we go.
Good old Stumpy is waiting. In with you, Stump.
Yeah, good night, Benny. What an inhuman hour to wake a fella out of his sleep.
See, Tom has his eyes open even at this hour of the night. Are you all set, Tom?
I couldn't sleep at all. Too keyed up to see if we beat our new record.
Okay, fellas, all out. We'll run the entire course from top to bottom and see just how fast this sled can really go.
What's the news, Bill? Come on. Make it faster with a pencil, will you?
I'm trying, Growl. We'll have our speed here in a minute.
We were going so fast, it's hard to tell if we broke our new speed record or not.
It'll be mighty close, Sonny. Mighty close.
You got it?
We did break all our records, fellas.
Oh, what was it?
71.5 miles an hour.
Oh, man.
Boy.
Now I know we'll win the race, huh, Bill?
Yeah, pal, I think we will. I doubt that the Cole brothers can top this speed.
Good morning, everybody in Knotty Pine. This is your early bird edition of the news, Dan Fitzgibbons reporting. The big event of the day here in Knotty Pine is the championship bobsled races. There are 24 sleds entered in the meet in their various classes according to the speeds of the sleds. While all 12 of the races are important, the event is highlighted by the top contenders for the title and the trophy. This reporter has it from a good source that the title race between the champions, our own Rangers, and the challengers, the Cole brothers, is going to be a toughie. We're told that both teams are in top condition, and they've been grooming their sleds for better than mile-a-minute speeds. If you want to see championship bobsledding in a real battle for the title, come out this afternoon to the course. Both the Rangers and the Cole brothers are undefeated. The big question of the moment is, who will win?
As long as we're ready, let's all go out to the course and watch the other class run. I think it'll do us good. Take some of the pressure off.
Yeah, and out. But maybe I'll relax a little until we take off.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's get in the truck and go. Yeah. Henry, you want to drive?
Sure. All aboard.
Be careful now. The sled sticks off the back of the truck about 2 feet.
I'll watch it.
Here we go.
Well, there's not enough time to fix the sled now, Bill.
Yeah, looks that way, Tom. Steering gear bent, and front runners all twisted up pretty bad. Take a week to fix it.
It's too bad Henry stepped on the accelerator instead of the brake.
Well, he's been under tension and just got excited, that's all.
Well, it's more our fault than his, if you ask me. If we hadn't hollered at him, he might have been all right.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Where's Henry now?
I don't know. Well, there he goes around the corner of the office. Henry! Henry, wait! I'll go after him. You fellas take the sled off the truck and kind of patch the garage up the best way you can for now. Come on now, pal. Buck up.
I wish I were dead. What a knucklehead I turned out to be. Oh, beat my ears off, will you, Bill? Sure what I deserve.
Oh, brother, why did I ever do that?
Look, I should beat you because you make a mistake? No, pal. Then we'd all have to be beaten. Because we all make mistakes. Now look, Henry. Start acting like a man and not like a whipped puppy. Besides, this is just as much our fault as it is yours.
Huh? I don't understand. I'm the guy that put the truck in reverse and stepped on the gas instead of the brake. I wrecked the sled, not you.
But if we hadn't yelled at you, this might not have happened.
Bill, you're a wonderful guy. You mean you're not sore at me?
Sore? Of course not. Like I said, we all make mistakes. This time we made one together, that's all.
What about Tom and Stumpy?
Oh, they feel the same way that I do.
But with the title, the championship, what about that?
Well, if we don't win it this year, we'll win it next year. Anyway, Henry, I have an idea that may save the day for us. Who knows? I want you to come with me. We'll send Stumpy and Tom out to the runway to see if they can't get the officials to hold off for just a little while. If we move fast, we got about 2 hours. That's our story, Mr. Snyder.
You boys are in a spot. And I can help you out as one bobsled champion to another.
You mean you've still got your sled, Mr. Snyder?
Got it? Why, look, Henry, I take care of it like a baby. That sled got me the championship 10 times in a row. And there hasn't been a day in 15 years that it hasn't been ready to go.
Bell, did you hear that? Or am I dreaming?
Mr. Snyder, if you'll let us borrow your sled, we'll take care of it just like you have.
You will, huh?
That's a promise on my word of honor.
All right. You can take the sled. Well, there's nobody I'd rather lend it to than you. Maybe it'll win another championship. Its runners are smoother than glass. Yep, I've kept them polished all these years.
May I ask what the top speed of the sled is, Mr. Snyder?
Yes, sir, you can. Last official test showed she did 71.5 miles an hour.
That means that we've still got a chance.
A chance? It means we've still got the championship, pal. Thanks, Mr. Snyder. We'll get the sled on the truck and head for the meet.
Well, it's about time you fellas got here. The judges are getting the flippity-gibbets waiting for us to start.
We got a sled, Stumpy.
You did? Well, praise the Lord. Good one.
Stumpy, this sled won the bobsled championship for 10 straight years. And it's an A1 condition.
Oh, good, good.
So you see what we've got to live up to. Okay, fellas, let's lift the sled off and get on the starting line. And watch those runners. They've got to win this race.
Are you men ready?
All set, Rod.
All righty. Now, keep a five on them here pin turns if you want to stay alive. Ready? Get set. Go!
Wish with all your might, Stumpy!
Look at that bell! Like British lightning!
Folks, we're standing here on the straightway toward the end of the course. There's the flag from the first curve. The Rangers are in the lead, and now they head into the hairpin turns. There's another flag. Both teams went into the turn neck and neck. Oh, what a race this is. There's a yellow flag I can see through my field glasses. The Cole brothers came out of the first hairpin turn in the lead. And there's the green flag. The Rangers took the lead into the next curve. Now there's two flags in the short straightaway. Both teams are still neck and neck. Oh, this is going to be a toughie. Wait till they hit the straight run down the valley. Then you'll see some real championship speed.
I'm taking the top. We give them extra speed for the straightaway.
Wow! The Rangers shot out of that last turn like a bullet. The Ranger took the top of the curve to gain extra downward drive for the straightaway. The Cole brothers are right behind them and moving over for a pass. Here they come to the finish line. The Cole brothers are only behind by a sled length. They can't seem to make it up. The Rangers win! The Rangers are still the champions!
Bill, let me congratulate you. That was the neatest maneuver I've ever seen, taking the top of that last turn. It sure lifted you just high enough to give you the extra speed you needed for that straightaway.
Thanks, Phil. The boys gave us a tough race. I certainly thought we'd lost there for a while.
That was real championship bobsledding, Bill. I'm glad you won.
Huh? Why do you say that, Ned?
Well, because of the accident you had. Your quick thinking saved the title for you.
Well, it's sporting of you to say so, Ned.
Not really. We didn't want to win by a forfeit, Bill. That's not championship sledding.
That's a real tribute to your sense of sportsmanship, Cole Brothers. You're a great team. Perhaps we can race again next year. Who knows? Well, see you next week for more adventure with
Ranger!
Now, little ones, it is that time for Bible story time with Sister Ruth.
God's shipbuilder. Looking for someone to tell the people what he was planning to do, God thought of Noah, last of the 10 old patriarchs, now nearly 500 years old. Keen, alert, and vigorous, he was one of the wisest men of his day. Moreover, amid all the evil about him, he remained loyal to God and the right. The Bible says Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. In this he was like Enoch, and no doubt this is why God chose him for his most important task and finally saved him and his family from the flood. Just what Noah's usual work was, we're not told. Perhaps he was a farmer, like so many of his relatives, but he may have been a builder, perhaps even a boat builder. For by this time, people surely had boats of many kinds on their beautiful lakes and rivers. Certainly he was a great designer, or he never could have carried out God's instructions for building the ark. One day, one of the great days in history, God came to Noah and said, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." This must have saddened the old man. He knew the people about him were very wicked, but they didn't. They needed to be punished, but the destruction of everybody and the whole beautiful world was something too dreadful to think about. But even as God spoke of punishment, he told of a way out that all could take if they wished. "Make thee an ark of gopher wood," he said. An ark? That meant something that would float? A ship, as we would say? But would it be large enough to hold all who might want to find refuge in it? Noah must have been amazed at the figures God gave him to work on. It was so small a lifeboat that he had in mind, but a huge vessel, big as a modern battleship. It was to be 600 feet long, 100 feet wide, and 60 feet in height, almost as big as some of the ocean liners today. The United States, pride of the U.S. merchant fleet, is 990 feet long, 101 feet 6 inches wide, and 122 feet from keel to top.
It has 12 decks and a crew of 1,000. In war, it could carry 14,000 soldiers. Why did God ask Noah to build so large a vessel? Well, first, because he wanted every single soul to know there was room for him in the ark if he wished to be saved. Second, because he planned to preserve a great number of birds and animals in it. And third, because he knew it would have to ride out the worst storms and the roughest seas of all time. After Noah was alone, he must have thought a long time about what God had asked him to do. Well, a lot of trees would have to be cut down and hauled to the building site. Imagine all the sawing, planning, and shaping that would have to be done. And all the men who would have to be hired and paid, it was a huge task for any man to tackle. And then Noah must have wondered what everybody would think when they saw him building a ship 600 feet long. Most likely they would say he was out of his mind, throwing his money away on a crazy idea. But thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. So did he. People do just that, regardless of what others may think of them, when they are walking with God. So Noah started to work, drawing the plan, preparing the number, and laying the keel. First, the neighbors probably didn't take much notice, but as the years went by and one by one the great wooden ribs of the vessel were secured in place and became clear that it was a ship and not a barn that he was building, they began to make fun of him. How they laughed, and for they could see no reason for building any such thing. What could anybody want with a boat this big? And they probably felt quite sure it wouldn't float. Anyway, even if Noah could get it into the water. Noah tried to explain, but it was no use. As people flocked to watch him work, he warned them of the flood that was coming and how God had told him to build a place of refuge for those who wanted to be saved. The more he tried to explain, however, the more they mocked him. But he went on building and preaching just the same while the years, the last few years of that beautiful world, slipped away.
All right, little ones, it's that time to have a little time with Uncle Bob.
Hi, kids. I'm a sea lion, and I have some super neat things to tell you about my baby pup today.
Cherry, is it you?
Yes, it is, Uncle Bob.
Well, Cherry the sea lion, welcome to Nature Corner.
I'm delighted to be here today, Uncle Bob.
Oh, we're delighted to have you. Cherry, what's the difference between a seal and a sea lion?
A sea lion is bigger. For example, a daddy seal weighs about 500 pounds. My husband weighs a ton.
Oh, I guess there is a difference. But you look very similar, though.
Oh, yes. We are the ones who balance the colored beach balls on our noses at the circus.
Oh, neato. I like watching you do that, Cherry.
Well, thank you, Uncle Bob.
You're welcome. Are there different types of sea lions?
Yes, 5 different species in the world. I'm the stellar sea lion.
Okay, so what part of the world does the stellar sea lion come from?
In the Pacific Ocean, all the way from Japan to Alaska, and then down the California coast.
Okay. Say, would you like to bark for the kids once?
Oh, sure. Gladly.
Now tell the kids and me why you're here today.
I want to tell you some neat things the Creator taught me to do so I can recognize my baby.
You mean you might have difficulty recognizing your own baby?
Oh, definitely, Uncle Bob. There are thousands of mama sea lions and babies crowded on the beaches of Alaska and California every June.
And I imagine they all look alike.
They certainly do, Uncle Bob. Plus, we're all quite close together.
So you need to be able to recognize your own baby.
Sure, because I love him very much.
Tell me this, Cherry. Does your baby recognize you as its mother?
No, not till he's a few months old, Uncle Bob. Hmm. That's why it's very important I recognize him, because if he creeps up to a strange mama sea lion and begs for a drink of milk, she's liable to attack him and hurt him real bad.
Oh, really? Why can't you sea lion mamas help other babies and give them a little drink?
If I did that, I wouldn't have enough milk for my own pup, Uncle Bob.
I see. Okay, so he'd suffer and maybe die.
That's why it's so important that I know my pup from some other mother's pup.
All right, Cherry Sea Lion, how do you tell your pup from another one?
The very moment he's born, I'll sniff them really well.
Tell the girls and boys why you do that.
In my brain, there's a smell recorder.
Oh.
The intelligent creator put it there. Every time I smell something new, it's recorded in my brain.
Okay, then whenever you smell that same smell again, your brain plays it back to you and tells you what it is.
Sure, your brain works the same way, kids. That's why you can tell the difference between fresh-baked bread and smelly garbage.
Oh, Sherry.
Well, that's the truth, Uncle Bob.
So right away you smell your own pup, and you store that smell information in your brain.
Yes, because every baby sea lion pup smells different. No two smell the same.
Boy, isn't that neat. That's how you can tell yours from another mama's.
That tells me the Lord God gave us sea lions a super keen sense of smell.
Now, what if 100 baby sea lion pups were to crawl up to you? Could you tell which one was yours?
I'd have no trouble, thanks to my wise creator.
So your good nose helps you find your pup if he gets lost.
Yes, he's too young to recognize my smell yet, Uncle Bob, but I can recognize his.
Oh, I'm glad you're looking out for him. So, Sherry, right after the little fellow is born, you spend time carefully sniffing your little pup.
Right, and when I've sniffed him enough, then I pick him up in my mouth and drop him on the rocks.
Oh, come on, Sherry. That's not kind, is it? Doesn't that hurt him?
No way. It's the wise creator God's plan, Uncle Bob.
The creator's plan? Better explain that, Sherry, sea lion.
Sometimes I have to pick him up with my mouth and drop him 5 or 6 times until he cries.
Oh, you're trying to make your baby cry on purpose.
Sure. I know one mama who had to pick her baby pup up and drop him 52 times before he cried.
Either he was stubborn or his mama was hard of hearing.
I'll drop my pup a couple more times after he cries, Uncle Bob, just so I can be sure.
Oh, okay. You're listening to your pup's cry.
Yes, I'm recording the sound of his cry in my brain. That way, if he wanders down the beach and gets lost, I'll hear his cry and recognize it and go rescue him.
Sure. His cry down on the beach will match that one recorded in your brain, Sherry.
Uncle Bob, I'm able to do that because Christ, my creator, has made baby sea lions so no two of them cry the same way.
Wow. That tells me something about Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
I know it. It tells me he's super wise and very intelligent to be able to do that.
Think of it. There are millions of little sea lion pups, and they all look alike, but they smell and sound different.
I wonder how evolution explains that, Uncle Bob.
Sherry, right after you sniff and listen to your crying baby pup, what happens then?
I put my flippers around him, pull him close to me, love him, and let him have a long drink from my milk gland.
Oh, that's nice. Tell the kids and me a little about your milk, Sherry.
It contains 43% butterfat.
43% butterfat?
Yes.
That's not milk. It's super rich whipped cream.
Ooh, does it make that little rascal grow. He weighs 40 pounds when he's born, and on that pint of milk he gains a pound every day until I'm through nursing him.
Wow, imagine how much the boys and girls would grow on that kind of milk. Sea lions are water creatures. You live in the ocean. Does your little pup know how to swim, or do you have to teach him, Sherry?
I teach him, Uncle Bob, and the Lord gives me lots of patience, too.
Oh, really? You mean he doesn't like the water?
He's scared of it at first. I have to call and coax him into deeper water. When he sinks out of sight, I'll grab him with my mouth and lift him up. Soon, he gets the idea of using his flippers, and then I can't keep him out of the ocean.
Sherry, sea lion, you've taught me so much about you and your little pup today. Thanks a million.
Glad to do it, Uncle Bob. Hey, kids, when you see me at the circus or Sea World, remember how different each sea lion is, okay? Even though we look alike, we all have different smells and cries.
That's for sure. That should be a reminder for us to think how great our Creator is, Sherry.
Kids, remember Jesus Christ, your Creator, while you're young. You'll be glad you did. Take it from me, Sherry Sea Lion.
Hello, my name is Ian of Ashtabula, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim, and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 1-440-754-2061, and the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember, I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
7 days a week of what you really want. The Six Eyes Radio Network.
Did you enjoy the program today?
Well, you could get all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, whether Station 1 or Station 2. All you have to do is first download your iHeartRadio. Once you downloaded the iHeartRadio app, then go to iHeartRadio and type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that and you click enter, you will see two results pop up. The first, Six Eyes Radio, and the second, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. These are the results for both Station 1, Six Eyes Radio, and Station 2, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. You'll want to click on both and get both added to your device so you can listen to all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network for both Station 1 and Station 2 so you can enjoy 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, at your leisure. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
And here at the end of the show, Sister Ruth, who do we have with us?
What do we got? Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, we got you, Sister Emily, and me.
All right. Well, Sister Emily, what do you got for us? Anything new?
Hello, hello.
Tell that phone of yours, Emily, to get its coffee.
Well, I'm going to tell my phone is it better turn around and learn to fly with no wings.
one of that deal. All right. So, anything new?
I did get a text message right while we were on the air. And what was weird, it was my landlord. Which kind of floored me there for a minute, because I'm thinking, okay, what is she texting me? What did I do this time? Like most people, somebody texts you and it's someone you normally don't excuse me, I didn't mean to do that. But, you know, when a landlord text messages you and they don't normally do that, it kind of throws you. She texted me. All she said was, Emily, are you available for me to call you? I gave her, text her back my other phone number, and she called me. And I had to basically use the tone of calm down now. And normally I don't like doing that. Basically, she called me, and all I'm going to say is I have a special unspoken for my landlord.
Okay.
If you will pastorally call me after we're off the air, I'll explain.
Okay.
And be keeping me in prayer. I was walking through my house and I went, you know, flat again.
Okay.
I'm having problems with my legs functioning right now and they're not playing nice for me.
Okay.
I just got a squeal back in my ear from you. So I don't know what caused that, Miss American, but just giving you a heads up.
I just got the phone a little too close to my chin, but go ahead.
Also, be keeping a young lady named Tamara in prayer. She just text me while we were on the air. She was not due for her child for another 6 or 8 weeks and has went into premature labor.
Okay.
And with that, I am complete.
All right. Well, then, Ruthie, you want to give us a closing prayer? And then we will say good evening, and we'll catch everybody on the Wednesday night Bible study on Station 1. You call 424-243-9617. That's going to be within about an hour from now.
Hey, Ken.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to be funny here, okay?
Uh-huh.
You said we'll catch everybody on Station 1. How many miles an hour are we going to be going?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Youth pastor had to throw a humorous comment out there tonight.
Yeah. All right. Well, Sister Ruth,
I think I'd better behave so our boss doesn't get me for goofing off on the air.
Okay, Sister Ruth.
Well, Lord, we love and praise your name tonight. You know all the requests, and I probably forget something, but I also remember Emily's landlord. She has a personal thing going on, and see with Emily, she hurt herself there, and some of the things that she had mentioned, you know what they are, and it's more personal, so I'll just leave it. And thank you for what you did with this incident with the sewing tonight, too. We'll see what happens with that. And who knows if I get a little small, job, it gave me something different to do. All right, well, we just praise and bless your name. We love you so much. Amen.
Amen. All right, so we'll see you on Station 1. God bless everybody.
God bless. God
bless everybody. Oh, you're giving me a turn, dang it.